in the past, attempts to increase the mill rate have gone towards the road maintenance in Sitka. But now what we see is folded into this ordinance the promise to dedicate 1 mill worth of mill rate revenue to the electric fund. And the goal is to keep rates from skyrocketing. So I see kind of two alternatives. If this doesn't pass, the electric department has said that rates could go up between 11 and 20% next year, depending on what happens with the winter. If the winter is very, very warm, this was the warmest year on record, and our consumption as a city has just continued to go down and down, that's the number they're talking about. If this does pass, rates would increase by 5% for next year. But I asked Brian Bertacci, well, would it stay there? Would it stay at 5%? What would happen after that? And this is what he wrote to me, Brian Bertacci being the utility director for the city. If we assume a 5% rate increase for part of FY17 and a 1% increase in load for next year and the following year, and that mill rate change giving us $1 million extra, and he also talked about more money coming in from the rate stabilization fund. But here's the interesting thing. The increase for FY18 could still be on the order of 15% to meet the bond covenants. So we could still see a rate increase, not for next year, but for the following year, of a magnitude of 15%. And I found that interesting. They're already looking far ahead at what rate increases could be in the year to follow. But there is something else to consider. And I know I'm throwing a lot of information out to you, but this is a complex issue. The electric department is working to bring more customers online, and they're working really, really hard to do that. They want to upgrade equipment for the fish processors. They want to introduce an interruptible boiler program for places like Search and the Coast Guard and Mount Edgecombe and the school district. What this would basically do is increase our load. If we could increase our load as a city and have more people using energy, our rates wouldn't have to go up that much. And if this all pans out, Brian Bertacci, utility director, wrote to me that the city's estimate is it can bring in $1.6 million in revenue for FY18. He wrote, these opportunities, if realized, could significantly reduce the level of the rate increase in 2018. So given this, if we don't know what the rate increase should be, how should we proceed as a city? And I bring all this up because this is part of what the assembly has really been talking about, the electric rates and how to keep them from going up. Gary Paxton.
Deep breath, Pax. The sky is not falling. These continuous doom scenarios from the finance department, I love Jay Sweeney, the electric department, I think are troublesome for our community. First of all, the electric department should stand on its own. The principle of city government is the general fund funds the general fund, every enterprise fund funds itself. That's the principle. That's how it's supposed to be run. I looked at the electrical fund the other day and talked to Jay and Mark about it. And I'm misquoting this. If I am misquoting, then I stand corrected. But they have $2.5 million programmed a year for doing, I'm sure, important work in the distribution and the substation system. I'm sure they need some of that. But if I was there, I think I'd say, okay, give me what you would do if you had $1.5 million dollars a year versus $2.5 million, and what's the downside? What is it with $2 million? You know, somehow they've got to be able to manage through some really complex and difficult times. So
certainly.
And the last point I would make is they need to focus like a laser on going to our federal government, Murkowski, and the other senator and congressman, and see why we cannot get some relief from the federal government for the Blue Lake Dam. There is no habitat impairment in that stream. Department of Energy has money available for those kind of things. And listen, I think our city government is well run and they're serious, but I would say they got about 18 things they lobby for. I would lobby for one thing next year.
Interesting.
And that's the electoral fund.
Gary Paxton and Robin Sherman, go ahead.
Well, I'm all for shaking down Uncle Sam, and I hope that works. But we don't have any guarantees that we are going to be able to get that money, and we have to have a plan to be able to cover those bonds on our own. And I guess I'm a little bit more concerned about it than Gary, because right now we're paying interest only on the greater portion of that debt. So over time, it's actually going to get more expensive, not less expensive. And I'd be very concerned about not investing in our electric infrastructure. Remember, you know, the dam is the big expensive item, but generation is useless if your distribution system is falling apart. So I don't want to skimp on the maintenance that we need, because I want to know that my lights and my refrigerator and my heating system are going to work when we turn them on. And I don't think that this is going to get better. If we can get some federal relief, that would be great. But we have to have a plan to pay for it on our own. And I don't want that to be taking money out of maintaining the system just to pay the debt.
That's Robin Sherman. We're talking about how to best to support the electric fund in Sitka. And actually, our phone lines are open, 747-5877. If you'd like to call in and be a part of this conversation, we really welcome your voice with it. John Stein.
So I guess I have a challenge on the capital work that Gary mentioned. As was explained to me, there are electrical bond proceeds that remain that are being allocated for that work. So it's different than rate revenue and adjusting expenses that are charged against rate revenue. In other words, trucks, time, man, union, the whole thing. That comes out of the rates, but the bond proceeds are what's intended to build the new transformer at Marine Street and that sort of thing. So that's what I was led to understand.
Yeah, I don't know that. Just to comment on that, I don't know the details. Again, this is, I think, a question for the city. But I do know that next year they need $10 million to meet the bond covenants and $8 million to pay for that electrical infrastructure, which, as Robin Sherman was saying, is what allows us to keep the lights on. So a lot of it is going to just maintaining the transformers and the substations and the electric lines that run around town. But Marjorie Parmalee, do you want to weigh in on this?
One comment in that if enterprise funds, as Paxson says, need to support themselves, that's the whole goal, that's the whole way government is set up. And are we setting a precedent? I mean, we could be sitting here next year because one of the harbors had their float sink, and then we got to raise it again because now we got to support the harbor fund. That is a concern, whether we're setting a precedent that just might boil over into another fund that needs support. And I don't use the harbor, so I don't really want to have to pay more taxes to support a harbor I don't use. And they'll just have to raise harbor rates to support that. We may have to raise electrical rates. No matter what we raise, there will be families in this town that can't pay it. You know, it doesn't take working at the city very long to know and to see there are families that can't. And how that's going to be resolved and worked out, I don't know.
Thank you so much, Marjorie Parmalee. We have a caller on line one who is joining us right now. Hi, what's your name? And welcome to Raven Radio's call-in show about Proposition 1.
Okay, yeah, I would like to, okay, let me turn this down.
Hi, no problem. This is James, correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, James, go ahead.
Yeah, raising the millage rate is a bad idea. You know, to try to create revenue for the electric and stuff. I mean, heaven to bitsies, you know, we got that fancy electric mill out the road there. You know, I know it's going to, you know, it's already got defaults. It's not a fault of ours.
Are you talking about the Blue Lake Dam?
Yeah, the turbines, you know, they're going money sack on us already. It's brand new.
Well, we should talk about the Blue Lake Dam, but is there any question you want us to raise?
No, I just want to make comments, and I walk around town a lot, and I see 10 million city trucks. Every person's driving a different truck. Now we got to cut down on, you know, how many vehicles are out there. The city ought to take a...
Thank you. Yeah.
Whatever.
Hey, James, thanks so much for calling in.
The city ought to take a tally on how many vehicles the city has.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in, James. There's another dimension to this, which is, of course, the size of city government and what is the right size for Sitka. And I want to ask you guys that question and maybe take a Goldilocks approach. You know, is it too big, too small, or just right? But I think that the thing that's really important to remember, and I know people say this often, is the fact that we do live on an island. So there are no redundant systems. There's no one we can go to finance our operation. And the majority of the city's budget is in personnel. It's these 161 people who keep the libraries and the parks and the hospital running and the roads. And speaking of the roads, Sitka, though, yes, we have brand new trucks, our roads aren't doing all that great. We have a deferred maintenance issue on these roads. They were paved over 20 years ago. The Public Works Department has said, and they said this during a Citizens Task Force discussion, that 70% of paved roads will reach a gravel condition in 10 years or less if they are not repaved. So it's something to consider, that just the state our roads are in. And the problem is there's no dedicated fund for road maintenance. And every time a ballot question about property taxes come before the public, it's been about roads. Now it's about the electric fund. But I want to raise the question of, you know, what are your expectations for what city government should be in Sitka, given the situation that we're in and the importance of maintaining what we have or looking at reductions? I know that's a big question, but whoever would like to talk about it. Yeah, go ahead.
John Stein here. I worked at the city for a while, and what's sort of astounding by our isolation is how many functions the city has under their belt. And I made a list here, which includes the enterprise funds and such. So we have electric, we have water, we have sewer, we have roads, we have stormwater, we have refuse collection, we have landfill that we ship out, the Harbors Department, Public Works and Construction Management, assessing, planning. We have a heavy-duty shop that maintains the fire engines and the heavy equipment. Fire Department, Police Department, jail. We have a contract to house prisoners for the state, library, Harrigan Centennial Hall. It's a hugely complex organization, and I think that boils down to like 15 departments totally. But there's... to balance all that and keep it going is really important. And then those functions have evolved over the years as things we value. Parks and Rec, I didn't even list that. But the notion that we would let roads go to gravel just is appalling to me, because up in the Northland, we couldn't maintain roads that had more than 300 vehicles a day on them gravel. We had operators running graders, you know, 8 hours a day, and they're just not maintainable. And in a climate where it's wet like we have, it's going to be even more difficult. So I there's issues like dust and grit and dirt and all that kind of thing when roads deteriorate. And I think that's a huge quality of life issue that a few of us who've lived here for a long time really appreciate the value of paving and weatherproofing our roads.
Emily?
John Stein. Yes, Gary Paxton.
Government has an insatiable desire to do good with other people's money. John is right about that. I don't want the road system to go down to gravel. But right now, the electrical department is a challenge, and they should stand on their own. I mean, we may not like it, but they should. That's the principle. They should stand on their own.
But what if they can't stand on their own? What if we're in a situation where just how it shook out?
Then they would raise rates. But listen.
But how far can we raise rates until people can't afford it?
You,
oh, go ahead. Go ahead. But we do have a call. Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
I lost my train of thought. I lost it.
You were talking about how we shouldn't go to gravel roads, well, or every fund should pay for itself, basically.
When you look at the capital maintenance numbers, they will just bring you to your knees. That was my thought. We need right now.
Yeah.
We got a state in trouble with this budget. We've got the phenomenon of our electrical dam upgrade and the cost of that. So this is a time in the next 5 years, in my view, maybe you're postponing disaster, but that you need to be really prudent about what you do and how you spend your money. And so I just think that's sort of where we are. And I don't know how much the electric department can cut their budget. I don't know how much. But
yeah.
Hey, listen, if it's got to go to 20%, then I'd say they need to take some of that 20% and cut their budget. I mean, these are serious times now.
Okay.
And
Gary Paxson, Robin Sherman, would you like to jump in on this? That's okay if not, because we actually do have a call.
Why don't you go to the call, and I'll jump in a little bit later.
Sounds great. Okay. Caller, you are on Raven Radio. Oh.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Who is this?
This is Dan.
Dan, welcome to Raven Radio's Proposition 1 forum. And thanks for calling in. What do you got to say?
Well, I have a suggestion. Everybody's talking about taxes and all that. I don't think taxes where it is. What we have and what we should think about is that our city government per capita might be a little bit high. If we have one city person for 100 city residents, that's about 25 people paying that city person's wages and something for him to do. And if we have two per 100, then we really can't afford it because there's just not enough to go around. When you have 100 residents, two of them are children and one's a wife. And so you only have 25 people out of 100 that are paying the taxes to pay for the city government. And so I think the city government needs to be run on a per capita basis. And we really shouldn't have more than one city government for more than 100 people.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan, for calling in. And it's interesting, we're talking about government services in terms of roads, but you're talking about actual personnel. Robin Sherman, what is your comment?
And if you look at the city budget and the budgets of all of the public entities, including the school district and the hospital and all the enterprise funds, personnel are the biggest portion of those budgets, and people are expensive. And I hear a lot of folks saying, we need to cut the size of city government, and there are too many people working for city government. And there are a lot of people who have been here longer than I am who are more familiar with it, but I guess my question to the folks who want to cut city government is, first, exactly what services and positions do you want to cut? And what are we going to lose? So that's my first question. And then I have a concern in that my understanding of how it works in Alaska is when you cut positions, whether it is in the city or in the school district, these public positions that are part of the Alaska pension system, you still have obligations to pay the pension benefits that those employees have incurred during their service. So if you are eliminating a position, the state pension system will require you to hire an expert called an actuary to say, how much money does the city and borough of Sitka owe this person that they have already earned in their retirement benefits? So first we have to pay for the study, and then we will have to pay for the benefits that they've already incurred. And there is also a minimum number that we can't go below in terms of paying into the pension system. The final thing is that when we lay people off, it has an impact on our unemployment rate that we pay. So there are costs associated with laying off city employees in addition to the services that we will lose when those people aren't working here anymore, and you can't just make that up by contracting those services out. So when people say cut the city budget, cut positions, it's important to understand, one, what positions do you want to cut, what services won't we be providing anymore, and how much is it actually going to cost us to cut those positions?
Robin Sherman talking about that there's a cost to losing city staff in the form of paying pensions and benefits. And we have a caller on line one, I believe. Tom, you're on the program.
This is Tom Conley.
Thanks for calling.
Hello, this is Tom Conley. I'm with the school district, and I have a question about the outcome of the election in the sense of the cost of doing business in the school district.
The cost of doing business in the school district.
27.9% of the school budget is given by the city. It's last year it was $5.6 million. And there's a great deal of talk in Juneau that the teacher retirement system and the personnel retirement system are going to be whittled down and transferred a great deal of it to the municipality. So the cost of running the schools is going to go up. And I wonder what effect it's going to have on the mill levy that is being adjusted at this time. Thanks.
Thank you so much for calling, Tom. Tom's question is, how would this affect the Sitka School District if we had to reduce the size of government? It should be pointed out that the city did reduce their operating budget by their general fund budget by $1 million last year, and further reductions are likely. Yes. Marjorie Parmalee, would you like to answer?
Well, I really couldn't say exactly. And this city, the way it's operating right now, has a habit of doing a panic mode and getting all excited over sometimes nothing. So I guess I would have concern about jumping in with what could happen, what will happen, what might happen. Right now, we know where we are with the electric fund. We know that has to be changed. And I can tell you from working in finance, there are a lot other places to get money for this city that have nothing to do with cutting a position.
So what are those? I'm curious. Where should we be looking for more money? This is Robin.
Number one, we need to get good audits. Having bad audits affects the city government by our bond rating, our credit rating, all kinds of things. And for the last 3 years, we haven't had good audits. We've had, qualified witness? No, can't remember. There's a technical name for it. And it means that we haven't kept our accounts balanced. So given any moment, normally you would balance all accounts at least by the quarter. Those aren't happening. And we have money that isn't getting collected.
It should be pointed out that the city is currently undergoing an audit. And
they do every year.
And they do every year.
That's standard procedure. It's done every year. And it's right. That's how it's always been. But it just hasn't been quite up to snuff. And that is important, and we need to do that. We also have other things that aren't being collected. And I don't really want to speak to those because it's more pointedly.
I think, too, without the city here to really,
I really
answer these concerns.
But I can just tell you there is
we'd have to. But John Stein, did you want to jump in on this at all? Or?
No, thank you.
I really appreciate you guys being willing to talk about this. Go ahead. Yeah.
This is Gary again. I'm not an advocate of firing a bunch of city employees, whether they're four or five that can be eliminated over time, preferably when they retire, they leave, that would be okay. But and you hate people who say, when I was there, how we did it. But when we used to sit down in our budget, to balance a budget, we'd always be somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million over, but this is just a general fund now, right? And I say, okay, troops, everybody go back and cut what the heck you can. And again, this is a smaller number than we're dealing with now. But we're always able to do that and end up with a few $100,000 to the good. Now listen, the problem now is more complex than that. So I don't know exactly, Robin, to say how you could eliminate money in city government, but I think there could be further belt tightening. Having said that, I think additional revenue is necessary and encouraged. And the thing I laid out gets you over $2 million, probably $2.5 million.
Right.
And again,
no, you explained. Yeah.
You know, that may not be the right way to go, but
what do you think of all this, Robin Sherman?
Well, I really appreciate the experience that both Gary and Marjorie bring, having worked for the city for a long time, but I think that Gary just acknowledged it's a little bit difficult to apply past experience to our current situation because it's a little bit different. And I think the big things that are different is right now the loss of federal and state support. And the Blue Lake Dam project, we have to understand that was $140 million. I don't have my calculator right here, but when you divide that by the number of residents of Sitka, you come up with a really big number. And, you know, a huge portion of that, I want to say 85 million of that, is bonds that'll need to be paid back. And that is really different. And I am willing to believe that we can tinker with the budget and find a little bit of savings here, a little bit of savings there. And knowing Mark and Jay and Wendy and Brian and all the other folks who are working really hard in city government, I believe that they're doing that. I think that they are looking for savings. They found some this year. They'll probably find some next year. But we are not going to be able to fill this budget gap by doing small things. We do need to find that revenue, and I think we're all back to where we started and that we all agree that more revenue is needed. And the question is, what is the best and fairest way to do that? I actually agree when you talk about enterprise funds that enterprise funds should be able to pay for themselves. Yeah, they are supposed to, but I think a decision was made that, you know, I wasn't the one who made it. $140 million project is really, really big for a city the size of Sitka. And we are now stuck with that decision, and it has fundamentally changed the nature of our electric enterprise fund. And we don't have a choice about paying it. We have to figure out how to come up with that money.